Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the Gospel according to Mark. We are in chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, we're beginning at verse 24 and reading through the end of the chapter. This is God's word. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First, let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she replied, "but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There, some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Two vignettes from Jesus' time in an area that was not his usual area. It was an area where the population, although there were Jews who lived there, the population in this area, both of these areas, was largely Gentile. And Jesus had come in obedience to the Father to the Jews first. Now, in this first story, we have a bit of a PR problem because, first of all, Jesus was not real, shall we say, real big on PR. In fact, Jesus repeatedly throughout his ministry did things the opposite of the way that you would do if you were trying to get as big a crowd as possible and make them really enthused so that maybe they'd make you king. They kept wanting to do that. They kept trying to do that, and Jesus kept resisting that. Because Jesus knew why he came. He came to die. Because that was the only way we could be saved. Well, wasn't he the Messiah? Yes, he was the Messiah. Weren't they looking for Messiah? Yes, they were. But he wasn't their kind of Messiah. He wasn't coming to overthrow the Romans and set up an earthly kingdom and put the Jews back on top. Instead, Jesus was coming to do what only he could do, to offer his sinless life as the perfect sacrifice for us sinners. So Jesus comes into a place not wanting folks to know he's there. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. So Jesus was seeking to keep his presence quiet, and yet word got out quickly. And as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. And she begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. Now, before we go on further to deal with Jesus' embarrassing response, remember I said we had a PR problem. I mean, this is the kind of thing, okay, Jesus said it, but we don't have to put it in the Bible. All right? We'll deal with that. But before we do, we need to just notice that the first vignette here is Jesus dealing not just with this woman, but with her demonized daughter. Is all that real? I keep having to ask that kind of question because I know that you know that I believe this stuff is real. I mean, when I read stuff in the Bible, I just accept that as that's the way it is because that's what God says. But there are tons of people who are very comfortable with the idea that I believe in that and can still be a nice, seemingly intelligent person, but they don't have to, right? I mean, we don't really have to believe in these evil spirits. I mean, you know, that seems just kind of medieval. Well, actually, it's much more ancient than medieval. I mean, that seems like it's, you know, one of those things that uneducated, unsophisticated people in, you know, primitive areas of the world believe that. Yeah, they do. And they're right. And it's the educated idiots in Western culture who have become functional atheistic materialists, even as they inhabit pulpits, that cause the enemy to be so successful in blinding the eyes of folks who need to just wake up and realize what's going on. Demons are real. Well, in this case, we don't know exactly what kind of symptoms were being manifest in this daughter, but it was enough that a Gentile woman from, you know, kind of the foreign background, and who knows what kind of religious views, she could recognize the reality of the demonic in her daughter, and she came to Jesus wanting help. But this other guy, it tells us what his symptoms were. He was deaf and mute, and Jesus deals with that by treating it, I guess you'd say, kind of a weird way. It's another PR problem. Jesus dealt with a physical problem using touch and spit and speech. What's he up to? I mean, would you reckon, if you went to a doctor and he did this to you, would you think, hey, I thought maybe it was going to be something like that? Jesus put his hands in the man's ears. And Jesus spit and touched his tongue. Kind of sounds like he spit and put it on the man's tongue. Ugh. I'd have a hard time with that. I mean, but he also spoke. He gave a command. Be opened. It would seem that Jesus dealt with both of these problems as if they were ultimately spiritual in nature. Something that even to a pagan was obviously spiritual in nature, and something that to other observers seems to have been just a physical issue. But Jesus dealt with all of it as if there's a spiritual dimension that a lot of times people are oblivious to. Okay, Pastor, I knew you were going to get there somehow, but so you're saying that ultimately all of our problems are spiritual problems, and that if we just get things right spiritually, then all of our problems, whether physical, psychological, social, economic, political, whatever they are, will go away. No, I'm not saying that. Thank you so much for asking and giving me the opportunity to clarify. What I am saying is that if we focus on the various facets of our problem as if they are purely physical, psychological, social, economic, political, and we do not recognize in all of those things that which is spiritual, then we are making a big mistake, a huge mistake. Because your physical body is temporary. Your psychological condition is changeable. Whatever economic problems we have, those are temporary. But whatever economic security you have, unless it's in Jesus, that is temporary also. You understand? Your security had better not be in the bank or Wall Street or in the ground. Okay? We buried this in case of the apocalypse. Political, whatever other kind of problem you're having, ultimately, the one thing that is going to last after all the governments have collapsed, after all the economy has turned over, restarted, whatever they're up to now, after our brains are gone and our bodies are molding in the ground, the one thing that'll still be lasting is our relationship with God. That's the one thing that is eternal, which is why it is absolutely imperative that when we approach the various other problems, we not leave God out of the equation, because God can straighten out everything like that. And God can also go, and it all goes away. Not just our problems go away, our strengths go away. So when Jesus deals with these problems in a spiritual way, he is telling us something about the nature of reality. He's telling us that he is Lord.
Listeners to this broadcast from all over the country have signed up to help with the basic needs of children at Ware's Valley Ranch by becoming a ranch hand. Ranch hands have committed to giving monthly to help with things like food, utility bills for ranch homes, and gas for the ranch minivans. If you believe the Lord would have you help in this way, you can become a ranch hand by signing up at wvr.org. Just look for the donate button.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Now, back to the embarrassing problem of Jesus' statement to this woman. The woman was a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia, and she begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. Jesus replied, "First, let the children eat all they want, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." I don't think he should have said that. I mean, I know he had wanted to get away and not have people know where he was, and then this woman kind of invades his space, and it's got to be tiring and exhausting, and he's got to be frustrated. And so, but why would he suggest basically that she was a dog? I mean, that's not nice. Jesus actually said this because, according to him, he only said what the Father told him to say. And he only did what the Father told him to do. So why would the Father want Jesus to say to this woman, it's not right to give the children's bread to their dogs? Well, one hopeful commentator said, actually, the word that was used to describe by the Jews to describe the Gentiles was like wild dogs in the street. Jesus used a word for pet. The way he did it, you see, was he said their dogs. See, like it wasn't a wild dog. It was like their dogs. Oh, I'm sure that made it a whole lot more comfortable for the woman. Hey, he called me a pet dog. I mean, is it okay for Jesus to do what the Father says if it doesn't live up to our 21st century standards of social acceptability? I mean, I know Jesus said it or it wouldn't be in the Bible, but wow, I wish he hadn't said that. I mean, just the woman is begging for help for her child. She's a good mother. She has come to him. That shows faith on her part. Yeah, but this is what he said. He said, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. But that's not all he said. He said, first, let the children eat all they want. In other words, Jesus is saying that even though he came to the Jews first, the Gentiles are going to be included. And they were. He gives her an opportunity here to get insulted and walk away. He gives her an opportunity to say, I knew it. You're just like all the rest. But she didn't do that. You think of all the Jews in the Bible who were tested by God, who had opportunity to walk away. Jesus' own disciples, to whom he said, are you going to leave also? Because when Jesus said what the Father told him to say, and that is, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part in me. The crowd scattered. See, every now and then Jesus would say things and do things that just caused people to say, I'm out of here. I thought he was the Messiah, but I guess not. After the crowd had left and Jesus had said to his disciples, are you going to leave too? Peter said, Lord, to whom would we go? You alone have the words of life. If you're going to follow Jesus, there are going to be times when you're going to wonder, is this real? Is this true? Why would he do that to me? Why would he let this happen to the person that I love? Why am I having to go through this? And those aren't times meant to make us leave. Those are times graciously given by our Father to remind us that we have nowhere else to go. That being desperate is a gift because it shows us not to idolize this, not to make an idol of that, not to make an idol of this, to realize there is only one on whom we can depend. And until you've been brought to that point where you realize he's all I have and he's all I need, you haven't really begun to step into what biblical faith is about. You've got to get there with regard to salvation. You've got to come to the realization that it's not Jesus kind of helping you get into heaven, giving you a boost. Well, I know I made some mistakes, but, you know, hopefully God's grace will cover those things. I think I've got a pretty good case over here. C.S. Lewis wrote about the crisis in his own faith when his wife died. He was briefly married to an American who died of cancer. And he talked about how it really shook him to his core. And he said, and I realized that a lot of my faith was, and I'm paraphrasing, intellectual, but untested. And it was the mercy of God that caused, he said, if our faith is like a house of cards, it's the mercy of God to knock it down. Because what you and I all need is to realize he's our only hope. That is the testimony of the saved. If you think that you're going to go to heaven because you've done a pretty good job, you know, and after all, Jesus came to save imperfect people like me. I know I'm not perfect. Feel pretty good about the fact that I know I'm not perfect. That's not the cry of a person who says, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a person with flaws like me. No. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And so this woman didn't say, don't call me a dog. This woman said, yes, Lord. She's the only one who calls him that. Yes, Lord, she replied, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And Jesus saw her response for what it was, saving faith. Then he told her, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. He'd already taken care of it. Jesus didn't want to have a big show here. He wanted some quiet, but he took care of her need. Why? Because the Father told him to. He only did what the Father told him. He only said what the Father told him to say. He's still today interceding for us, the Father's right hand. So she went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. It's beautiful, isn't it? Jesus answered her prayer in obedience to his Father. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre. He goes through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee, into the region of the Decapolis. Decapolis. I've heard that term before. Yeah, Mark chapter 5, a couple of chapters earlier. The people in that region begged Jesus to leave. Please. Why? Well, the pig population had just been wiped out. Okay? And they were terrified of Jesus. Now he's back in a place where he'd been rejected, but he had left an ambassador there. You remember in Mark 5, the demoniac wanted to follow Jesus. Jesus said, no, you go back home and tell the people what God has done for you. And we read that he did. He went into the Decapolis and told the people there about what Jesus had done for him. Well, now Jesus is back in the Decapolis, and they're bringing him into another person whose problem was definitely physical, but it may have also been demonic in its nature. Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre, went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee, into the region of the Decapolis, and there some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hands on the man. After he took him aside away from the crowd, he did this. But please notice, the description of it is not only different, but it's an eyewitness account. It is an eyewitness account, including quoting what Jesus said to the man in Aramaic, which was the language Jesus spoke, and then giving the translation for Mark's audience, which was largely Gentile. And at this, the man's ears were opened and his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. We don't know how old this man was, but this was a problem that nobody else had been able to fix. This is a problem he couldn't overcome himself. This was a problem that Jesus dealt with in a moment.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.